Greetings in Jesus' name, and we are so privileged and blessed to be with you this morning, and the last, it'll be about 12 days that we would be here, planning to leave on Tuesday. So we appreciate your prayers and for us even this morning, as I've heard someone say, they're praying for me, and so that is wonderful, and you've been praying. We are dependent on the Lord, aren't we? And that's the way we learn to live as Christians. I think as we grow in his likeness, that we are just dependent on the Lord. I like to say, even for our next breath. So, death, a difficult circumstance, or whatever, we are dependent on the Lord. Yes, we have really enjoyed being here in Ireland, and you have a beautiful country. We've been so blessed and privileged in seeing so many things and meeting some of you. And so I'm unworthy to stand before you this morning. But we don't want to talk about that a whole lot, because we want to talk about the Lord Jesus. So I invite you to turn to Matthew 11 for a couple verses. I am from North Dakota, if you don't know that, and only about 25 miles from Canada, and so that is one country I do get to every once in a while when the border is more open especially, but other than that, crossing the water is something I don't do very often. Some of you, I guess, are just getting kind of used to doing that, so God bless you in your lives, each of you, in serving the Lord. So Jesus said in Matthew 11 and in verse 5 and 6, Jesus, John the Baptist, was wondering, is this indeed the Messiah? And Jesus said in verse 4, go and show John. And what is Jesus doing? The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And so I am so, we are so blessed by the work of the gospel. And Jesus is the force of the gospel. His blood that we were thinking about in Sunday school, the blood that was shed for us, that cup of the new covenant that enforces the New Testament, the new covenant, and gives power to the gospel, gives power to Jesus, however we want to think of that and say that. So do we see these things happening? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached. Well, maybe we should start with the first one, the blind receive their sight. And maybe we're thinking of a physical way. I maybe don't know anybody that, but let's get our mind instead on spiritualizing this a bit, of what the gospel does to me and you. Do you understand the word of God? Are your eyes opened to the light of Jesus and of the gospel, of the word, that your eyes can understand spiritual things that those that don't receive Jesus don't understand? Isn't that true? The lame walk. Are you able to walk in places that that Jesus has healed you? That you know where to go, where it's safer? where you shouldn't walk, where you might fall, and so on, however you want to apply that. The lepers are cleansed. Our spiritual lives, the sin of leprosy in our own lives, cured by Jesus, by his blood. The deaf hear, and our hearing. Are we able to hear the voice of God, the word of God speaking to us, truth? And the dead are raised up. That spiritual life within us. So, and the poor having the gospel preached to us, we're all poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so, in that sense, Jesus is working now. The gospel has power for us in our lives. Don't just think of physical healing and work, but the work in our spiritual lives. But verse 6, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. More introduces my subject, I guess. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me, in Jesus. You mean people would be offended in Jesus? Well, that is what happened, isn't it? And offenses come. And I invite you to turn now to Matthew 13. And let's look at verse 21. So in the parable of the sower, Jesus is giving how the word of God is given out. And as you have the land, the soil by the wayside, the stony ground, and the thorns, and then with the good ground. And verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And so people receive the word of God, some to bring forth good fruit. But behold, some people let God's word and let the circumstances of life take us down, and we become offended and we lose out from following Jesus. Now let's turn to Matthew 20, to the actual passage you want to get to. And I want to look at this chapter as teaching for us to live unoffendably. We know that offenses come. I actually didn't, I think, get to the verse I wanted there. Jesus said how it's just the way life is. Offenses come. The world gives us offenses. And how can we actually live in a way that we will not be offended? What does it mean to be offended? For us to be tripped up, for us to stumble, to fall by the wayside, and those stones of that parable were tripping people and making them fall. Not everyone that starts with Jesus ends well. And that's a challenge to us. My decisions. Will I be faithful to God throughout my life until death take me? Will I be faithful? Not everyone is. And maybe you, in your relationships, in your family, or in your church, in your community, You have people that cause offense. And if you would know me, you would probably find ways. Oh, he has offended me. And so how can we determine, I, no matter what happens to me, will not be offended? Have you ever been offended? Offenses come. And let's think of this. How can we determine to never become offended, to never fall by the wayside? So I would like to ask someone to read in Matthew 20, the first part. It's actually fairly long, but the first 16 verses of Matthew 20. And then we have about five parts here in Matthew 20. Would someone volunteer to clearly read Matthew 20 in your Bible? Anyone? And then the next one is verses 17 to 19. So we have several. If we have any volunteers, okay, would you go ahead and read 1 through 16, please? Okay, thank you. So we have this first section of Matthew 20. And as the Word of God is living and powerful, I've liked to think of this chapter as teaching us about how to live unoffendably. I've liked to look at the previous chapter, chapter 19, about giving divinely. And I picked some of the other chapters, and I have little phrases for the whole chapter. But this one I have for living unoffendably. And as you study the Word of God and God teaches your mind and heart about His ways, you might come up with different ways that God would just speak to you out of His Word. But let's think about this morning of us living unoffendably. And so, this first part, we may become offended at God. Jesus even said, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me," in himself. And So as we take this passage, this parable of I'm taking as the it referring to God as being the one that is hiring and paying. And so in verse 11, we have the people are murmuring against the goodman of the house. And isn't that what we do when we become offended, or one of the ways? In verse 15, they're thinking that he is evil, or that he's doing wrong. And so, as we face life, we might become offended at God in that he's just allowed so many difficult things for me. He doesn't pay me what I have a right to. And it's just not fair. Life is not fair. And isn't that just so common in our society? People think there's too much evil. It's just not fair. Well, God is good. We see in verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thine eye evil because I am good? And so God, we know, is good. And for us to be determined that we will not be offended at God, at the things that he allows, he tells us there's no temptation taken us, but he gives a way for us to escape. And we might say, well, it's just not fair. It's just too hard. I have to be offended. No, that's not the way reality is it? We might be offended at God, but he is good. Let's determine in our lives that God is good and be thankful to him regardless of what comes our way, to not be murmuring. He knows all about life. He allows what he sees is possible for us to live with. And we know life is hard. Life is difficult. But to determine in our lives that God is good and to not murmur, and he is fair, that helps us to not become offended. To live unoffendably, we must not become offended at God. Let's look next at the next part. If someone would read 17 to 19, please, would there be a volunteer for that?
And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he told the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him over the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day."
Okay, thank you. And so here Jesus is telling them about what's going to happen, as we were thinking of in our Sunday school lesson of of his death, and we know the resurrection. Let's turn back with this passage to Matthew 16, and it's a very similar passage. Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23. And And I'll just read some of that here. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. On our subject of being offended, we have a very human person here, Peter, causing an offense, or shall we say tempting Jesus to be offended. So was this all bad that Jesus was saying? He's going to go and be suffering and die, and but then he says, I will raise again on the third day. And we might read this passage and think, oh, this is just terrible. But he does include and be raised again. And so Peter thought this was just terrible. And isn't that just the way we are with our lives? Yes, life is hard and trials will come. Things will be difficult. And our eyesight just looks down. But in the end, do we see the third day he's rising again? Do we see the light at the end of the tunnel? Or do we see joy in the morning that there is hope? We can be offended because we don't look far enough. We don't see the end. We don't see hope in the future. And so we need to look beyond the present to keep from being offended. We need to see the resurrection out beyond, the joy that is in the future. We need to see the sunrise that it's going to come. Then came the morning, and there is hope beyond. And so when life becomes dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When life is hard, look beyond the darkness and look beyond the shadows. Don't be offended. Determine that, yes, there is hope. And Jesus showed us here in this little passage of that third day he shall rise again. As we just read that, we probably think, oh, how terrible, such a difficult passage. But that last phrase is what keeps us or helps us from being offended. Look for the hope and the light that is at the end. And now let's read the next portion, verses 20 to 27. If someone would read that, please. Any volunteers? Okay, Matthew 20, verses 20 to 27. And here we have that people are offended at brethren. Go ahead.
Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her son, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, What did you wish? And he said to him, Grant that these two sons of mine this day sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave."
Okay, thank you. Have you ever been offended by people, by your brethren, maybe your brothers and sisters at home or in the church, especially probably? People that get under our skin, that, why do they want to, as Zebedee's children here, as the mother tried to make a place for them to have special recognition, and the ten were moved with indignation in verse 24 against the two brethren. So is it okay with us if someone else is lifted up, if someone else is promoted? Would it be okay with us if James and John would indeed sit with Jesus on the throne, however all this thought was? Maybe that's pretty far removed from us. Would it be okay with us if my brother, my sister beside me would be promoted and I would have to stay back and I have to serve and I have to work? And they just get to go and vacation and have great times and whatever all. If they get to sit with Jesus, is that okay with us? And so often we are offended at brethren, aren't we? But let us determine not to be offended. Let us become unoffendable. Is that possible? Can I become unoffendable, that no matter what happens to me by my brethren, I will not be offended? Well, that's pretty deep and pretty hard, isn't it? But let us determine to not become offended. Let us determine to not let our light be turned out, to not stumble because of what someone else has done. Why? Is there a way out for us? Is there a way that we can indeed be unoffendable? Well, I think Jesus here gives us an answer or a clue for something for us to turn our minds away from offense, and that is through service. He says in verse 26, "But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." Let him serve. Whosoever be chief, let him be your servant. By us determining to, yes, life is hard, I am hurt, I feel bad, but how can I bless? How can I serve? Maybe even the person that went against me, that I feel badly against. And isn't that really the work of the gospel? I believe that is one of the ways that God's power of the gospel brings us so that we can change life around us, blessing our enemy, blessing those that curse us. Maybe we think it's not that serious, I'm just offended. But even helping those that offend us, serving. And so I believe one of the clues for us to be unoffended is to seek fulfillment in service, looking to God first, not being offended in Him, looking to the end, looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, and then also seeking to serve and trying to help, getting down and serving, washing the feet of our brother. Let's now read, I'll read verse 28, which I think is one of these great verses. I have it underlined in my Bible, kind of a basis of the gospel of Jesus. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So we find the ultimate of service here in Jesus. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to serve, to give his life. I'll ask someone now to read verses 29 to 34, please. Right? So where is the offense in this passage here? Well, if we are the blind people, if we're the blind person and we need Jesus, is that us? Is that me? Do I need Jesus? Am I blind in ways? Can I see clearly everything? No. I'm needy. I need Jesus. But the multitude is crying, "Be quiet." Satan is telling us, just don't make a fuss about it. Don't reach out too hard. The world is telling us, look over there. Look around. Don't look to Jesus. And so we can be offended by a multitude. Don't let our brethren offend us. Don't let the world or the multitude rebuke us and make us hold our peace. Look in verse 31. They cried out the more, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." What will keep us from crying out to Jesus? Will we let the multitude offend us that we will not cry out to Jesus? The world is the enemy of God and wants to keep us away from Jesus. Satan, the ruler of the world of darkness, is against the light of God in our lives. And if we give in to his offense, if we choose to allow God's light to be shut out of our lives, you know, the world doesn't want us to come to God. And Satan wants offenses to keep us from coming to God, be it through our brethren or through the world, through any situation that Satan can work. He wants us to not come to God's light. And so let us not allow anyone, the world, the multitude, if the whole world is crying against us, and God forbid that would be, that we have so much pressure that we're the only one to come to God, but let us not let anything keep us from coming to God. Cry out the more, Lord, have mercy. And so for us to become unoffendable, let us be thankful for God's sovereignty, that He knows everything. He knows what's coming down my path. Let's look for the light at the end of the tunnel, that there is hope. There is a better day a coming. Let's seek to serve in helping those that we think are against us. Let's cry out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me. And let's come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What happened here in verse 34? Jesus had compassion, touched their eyes, and they were healed, and they followed him. They were not offended. They were not kept back in the darkness. Their eyes were opened. They could see. They could see the light of the world. They could see Jesus, and they followed him. So that's probably the closing clue for us, how to be unoffended, is to keep on following Jesus. He will lead us to the end where the light is bright and clear at the end of the tunnel. Let us kneel for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy, your kindness, your goodness. We thank you for your word that we can look into, for the word of life that brings life and light to our souls, our needs, our sickness, our darkness, all this brokenness that we live among. Thank you that Jesus is the light of life, and that through him there is hope, there is resurrection, a better day a coming. And I pray that you would bless each of our needs here this morning, that we would determine to not be offended by anyone or anything, to keep us away from everlasting love. Jesus has died for us, shed his precious blood for us, and through him we can have life. I pray that you would bless this congregation, each one, all the visitors, that you would bless in our needs and lift us up and turn us to you. I pray that you would bless your kingdom here and throughout the world. Bless in so many needs in Ukraine and in China and in other places where people are very much hindered from turning to you, that you would send out your light and your truth in a mighty way. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.